Everyone got one. What's your opinion? This is the rare room. Tongues won't be bit. Ain't no rules, just spill it. And anybody can get it. No limit. We get to kill it. You tuning into the thrillers. And no, ain't no stopping. Any topic, even the random.
We get to win.
I hope that you're ready. We entering in the zone soon. We on a grown shit. Welcome to the rare room.
That's it. That's all I got to say.
What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Hilliard Guess, and you guys are listening to the Screenwriters Rant Room, where we keep it street, we keep it opinionated, and we keep it 1015, y'all. Sometimes we say 2015, depending on how we're feeling. But check it out, y'all. On this show, we discuss entertainment, TV, film, music, culture, but our focus is always screenwriting, stories, craft, shit like that. So today, we got a real special show for y'all. We got my man, my home team, David Merritt, y'all. He's going to be here for you guys in a minute. We are here live at the screening on Sony Plaza over here in Century City for the screening of his hit new movie called Mouthpiece, you guys. It's about to come out. It's going to blow up. He's got lots of interest and lots of different distributors and different studios interested. And like I said, we're here at Sony right now. So, you know, Sony, damn it, y'all need to pick him up. So with that, we're going to be talking to a couple of the stars of the film, some of the people behind the camera today, you know. So tune in, just enjoy this episode and get some game from it. You know, you guys can make some shit happen for yourself too. So this is, again, one of those type of one-on-one interviews I'm going to be doing without Lisa on this one. So bear with us, like I said, and, you know, we're going to have fun on this one again. So check it out. Again, this is going to be for the screening of Mouthpiece. Y'all ready? Let's get it in, y'all. So here we are, you guys. I'm here with my man, Sean Pullman, y'all. What's up, Sean?
All right. How you doing?
So we just watched you guys in Mouthpiece. Now, check it out for you guys who don't know. We did a web series version.
Yeah.
We did a pilot version.
Uh-huh.
And now we've done a movie version.
Transformer.
So, that's what's up. See, here's the interesting thing. I always tell everybody, here's a cool thing about today. It's all about progression, right? Mm-hmm. So why not? Because, you know, I teach at the Writers Guild and all these other places. I'm always encouraging people to don't just take that one script and say somebody doesn't like it, right?
Right.
Take it and move it forward to another place. Okay, mm-hmm. It didn't work as a short.
Mm-hmm.
Can you expand on that story and turn it into a pilot?
Yeah.
Can you expand on that story and turn it into a movie? Right? So that's one thing I always give David credit for, is he fucking expanded the shit. You know what I mean?
He definitely did. It's hit some, I guess, some evolutionary bumps along the way. And mm-hmm. That's what needs to happen in order for things to, you know, transpire.
Absolutely.
And to reach from point A to point B.
Absolutely. Yeah. So let's talk about you. Where are you from? How you got into the game?
Well, I'm from England. And
hence that cool ass act. Look, he all sexy
British
and shit.
Accent,
I got the videotape.
Yes. I'm from England, and I came to America in, I think that was 1997. And I fell in love with movies when my dad took me to see Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Really?
Yep.
So you thought you was going to be an action star?
I was like, wow, this is it.
Yeah,
you know?
I feel you.
And then plus we only had four channels in England before Sky satellite TV came out, and then so James Bond used to come on literally every weekend.
Uh-huh.
So it was James Bond and Indiana Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I got to give those guys credit.
So you need to see that new one. What's that new one? That new movie out right now, Scepter? The Kingsman.
Oh, The Kingsman.
Have you seen that shit?
No, we haven't seen it yet. My girl and I are actually trying to figure out a spot to see that on date night. You know?
Yeah, it's supposed to be the shit.
Yeah,
it's probably like the younger, cooler, hipper version.
That's
of
what
that
I was.
Shit.
Yeah, and the girl's like, she looks like an amputee with like ninja spears or something on her. I can't wait. I'm actually excited to watch that. Yeah.
So you moved over here like 97. Did you come here to be an actor or what?
I just came over here because my mom sent off for a visa, and then it took 14 years.
Really?
And yeah, so she was pregnant at the time with me when she sent off for the visa, and then when I was 14 we actually got it, and it gave us 120 days to leave the country.
Wow.
Or go to the back of the line. So we hopped on a plane and immediately came over here, and we moved to Florida. And I was working at Arby's, taking out trash, and one evening, and this lady stopped me and gave me a card, and she got me into IMTA.
Okay.
And
is that an agency or something?
No, that's actually sort of like a Barbizon scenario.
Okay, okay, yeah,
where,
yeah.
Where you go and there's a
because he pretty, y'all. Just so y'all know, pretty Ricky, what we call him.
I got a face for radio. Yeah. So yeah, then an agent found me, and then just like fate, and it was like that was the opening door to something that I had a deeper love and passion for.
Mm-hmm.
So then, you know, after a couple of years, you know, you just get some opportunities, and then you realize it's not what you thought it was.
Sure, sure, sure.
Then you got to dig deep and
figure out. Are you saying it's jaded here?
No, no, no. I'm not saying it's jaded. I mean, like, you don't know what it takes to get what you really want.
Okay.
So when you finally learn that, wow, it's just not as easy as 1, 2, 3, that it takes like some skill and patience. And you have to; those are acquired over time. Okay. They don't just pop up.
Were you doing a little bit of modeling first, or what?
Well, I was doing a little bit of modeling first, but I do want to take it back. But
sure.
That I did play Oliver Twist in
Oliver.
Yeah, in England, in my school theater at QEH.
The musical or the play?
No, the play. Okay. You know what I mean? So that was like my first real taste of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So then I think that planted a seed. I don't know.
See,
how
see that's one of the things I like about London and England in particular. And what part of England did you grow up
from?
In?
I'm Bristol.
Bristol?
Yeah, Fishbones, Bristol.
Yeah. Okay. Now, one of the things I love about England in particular, now, there's still not enough, but England isn't afraid to, like you said, when I was in school or when I was a kid, I was able to play Oliver. Yeah. Here, they're like, oh, well, Oliver's a little white kid.
Well,
like,
exactly.
Motherfucker,
yeah.
No.
Yeah, you know? No, it's strange. I you know, my mom's black and my dad's white. And, I didn't realize, you know, I was of color until I grew up and someone told me that.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Because I just grew up in a house where that's Tom, that's Sally, this is Frank. As soon as I came to America, they were like, who, the Spanish kid, the Chinese kid? And I'm like, really? I'm the black kid? Okay, all right.
Yeah.
I'll take that. Well, fine, you know? So it was interesting to learn that about myself and how the world perceived me.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you think growing up in another country helps you in any kind of way? Because I was teasing you earlier about your accent, right?
Right.
And that it seems like today, now I'm a black gay man, right? I'm not afraid.
Whatever.
Know who the fuck I am.
You got fresh shoes on.
You know what I'm saying?
I got
style.
On.
You know
good.
What I'm saying?
Yeah, I see it.
I got soul.
I like those shoes.
You know what I mean?
They dope.
Yeah, these are the new joints.
Mm,
you know, every week, every other month I buy a couple of new joints, you know.
Yeah, I ain't mad at you.
But you made me feel my goddamn thong. Oh, here it is. So my first partner that I was with, his name is David. He is from Manchester by way of London. So he had the most interesting accent.
Mm.
I mean, because he was a combination. Like you, when he was about 15, 14, he moved to London. You know, so he was a northerner who moved south.
Right.
And then he had that accent. And by the time he got to be like 30 or something, he moved to the States. So he had this really interesting accent.
That's a twist.
And here's a trip. He looked like Simon Cowell to the 10th degree.
What?
To the 10th degree.
That's an
sounds like
voice,
Simon.
Yeah.
I'm just arrogant as fuck like Simon. So every time I see Simon, I'm like, oh
this
ex.
Guy.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Anyway, another whole story. I had to go on a little side note for you.
Cool.
So you were getting into acting. So you ended up getting an agent and everything like that?
Yeah. It's not easy, you know, to just like, knock on people's doors and get an agent. You know what I mean? You have to make some friends and people got to get to know you and see like where your passions lie. Because a lot of people just want to like, you know, one day they wake up and they got stars in their eyes. And that's not what it is. Those people will fizzle out extremely fast.
Absolutely.
It's like a long haul situation, you know, because either you got to write your own script and have the money to produce it yourself and have friends to distribute it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Or like you have to wait for fate to give you the perfect role. And like that could happen in your next lifetime or after you're dead. So, you know, you need to, it's a like 99% of your time, you have to find something and people to network with the same interests so that you and them can blossom together because you can't do it by yourself.
Now, when you were in IMT. IMT?
Yeah.
Were you studying acting or anything? Because you act like to me, I'm going to tell you, you know, because I co-produced this project.
Yeah,
you know,
you did.
Early,
several
versions before.
Award-winning writer, aren't you? Something
well,
like that.
Well, anyway. So one of the things is a trip is they, you really have to me. I remember when you came in. Like I said, as we all know, every, you know, when we're casting a show, and I've done many more since that thing, now I'm probably produced more than anything now.
Okay.
And I still write, but it's like I'm producing four projects right now. You know
You're
what I mean?
Man of many
back to back to back
That's
to back.
That's a juggling act right there.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So, Trip, You came in the door, and it's a trip because I'll never forget when we were in casting. I asked David, who the fuck is 3D? And he turned to me like you don't know? He's like, oh, that's me. And I was like, really? He said, yeah. So he envisioned him a certain way. So we were looking at like dark skin, bald, you know, a lot of those cats for your role.
Right.
And then you came in the door and I was like, wait a minute. You know what I mean? There's something different here. Mm. You have a charisma as if you come from the theater. Now, I'm one of those cats, and David has been with me in many casting sessions. When I see a cat come from the theater, I just have nothing but respect for him because I come from the theater since I was 12.
Right.
And so there's an aura. There's just a certain type of command that you have, and you can see it in you early in the movie when you start really giving them the rules and how it all works.
Right, right.
And
your
voice comes on, and you're talking to the camera, and you just got fucking flavor. You know what I mean?
Well,
really,
that's
really.
My mom's fault, my dad's fault, but I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's been, I think that basically comes from like being in the school I went to, QEH, Queen Elizabeth's Hospital. It's kind of like a Hogwarts, but without the magic.
Yeah.
And I spent a lot of time in the theater there, just like even helping behind stage with the lights, with everything, and also sung in the choir there. So we had to fill like cathedrals with our voices.
Had to project.
Yeah, we had to project all the way to the back, and to hear the acoustics was you know, therapeutic almost. Mm-hmm. And I think that strengthened my diaphragm in itself. So
Well, you know how to use it though.
Yeah,
see, that is something that, and I don't know if it was instinctual. I didn't know if you went to school for that. But I remember when you came in and did, I was like, this motherfucker knows how to use his instrument. Mm. There's something that was standing out even among the other pretty dark-skinned black dudes that we thought we were going to cast. You feel me? So that was interesting to me.
Yeah, I think that role in particular, the 3D, I think at that point in my life, I had been going through or just came through similar situations, you know what I mean? So, and I remember I was standing there and I had my cell phone in my hand and I was ready to do the scene. Mm-hmm. And Dave was like, are you ready? And I was like, well, yeah, wouldn't I be talking, like texting my homeboy right now, talking shit and like talking to you at the same time? And he was like, okay. And it was good because what happened was I missed the audition. I had like three opportunities to go to the audition.
Yeah, you came like when we were already called back.
Yeah, I came at the last minute. So for the last 3 weeks, I had been running this script in my mind like, yo, this dude's fucking jerk. This guy, you know what I mean? Like this guy here. Mm-hmm. So as soon as I walked in the room, I'm like, yeah, no doubt. Boom, 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 boom. Mm-hmm. And so it became a second instinct for me at that moment, which is probably what you picked up on at the time. You know what I mean?
It was almost like you were able to channel some shit, you know, and I don't know if you know cats like this. If you were just channeling, you know, we all are influenced by hip hop.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you were channeling, you know, somebody. Do you know? Did you see anybody?
I think, to be honest, if you sit down and you really like quiet the noise inside of you and you search yourself and you learn yourself, there's a little bit of everything inside of you.
I believe that.
Every character you see on
Sean
TV,
Pullman going deep on
there's
y'all
a little bit. There's a little bit of that in you. Now, if you can spend time with that part of you and develop that part of you for a specific reason, this being a role, you know what I mean? But I think, you know, it's a good idea to know yourself before you can even begin to step out of it.
All right.
You know what I mean?
No, I mean, I think, I remember when we finally decided that you were going to be the guy, and I was like, yeah, I think he's the guy.
And
it was pretty fast, actually.
Really?
It may appear like you still were kind of coming in.
Yeah.
You were like at the last, you kind of were almost, not necessarily like, what's the other kid? Josh. Because Josh was like last
Minute. He was like, we're already rolling. We need to get this.
Yeah, we had seen him a week or so ago. Yeah. He had went back to Chicago, whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
And we were like, nah, dude, we got to go with dude. You know what I mean? You, on the other hand, I was like, no, we're going to do light skin or dark skin. This dude's stronger because of this. This dude has this. But, you know, it was like a real, well, what about, well, do we see him this way or do we see him that way?
Right.
And it was like, well, we already have LaMonica, who looks a certain way.
Right.
We have another dude who looks a certain way.
Right.
How does that feel? We need somebody completely different who works good with a Josh. You know what I mean?
It's
kids. I'm going to say this to you guys. And you, as an actor, I'm going to let you know when I'm casting some shit. If you haven't ever done it, you guys need to sit in with casting directors.
Yeah.
You got to sit in. Because you will learn and you'll be able to see why they're casting people. And it's not because you aren't the right role. Sometimes, like I said, You already have too many people who look a certain way.
Right.
You just got to change it with another role.
Right.
And that's what
right.
you did. You right. know, I'm not saying you weren't the right one or that you weren't better than everybody, because to me, you were. Right.
Well, I appreciate that.
However, we also were casting. You know what I mean? If you, like I said, if you would have had two LaMonicas, how would that have looked?
Yeah.
You feel me?
Yeah.
But to me, you were better than the other LaMonica, if that makes sense.
Oh, no, I got it. Yeah. No, it does make sense. And being like, I've sat in with a couple casting directors and coaches and, mm-hmm. and I've sat in as the casting director too,
smart.
Which is a completely different mm-hmm. perspective on the scenario.
So are you starting to produce or something? Is that what you mean?
You know, I'm dabbling. I have a couple projects which I feel are good to go. Mm-hmm. I'll let you know maybe afterwards or whatever.
All right.
Yeah, I feel like it's very different than what you would think as an actor, because most actors are driven by like this ego need of something.
Sure.
And really, like if you're diving into a character, like the character doesn't have an ego. He's just experiencing or she's just experiencing what is actually happening to them, so that there is no ego like, oh, I'm this certain way mm-hmm. or whatever. They're just experiencing it. So like as a casting director, like I don't want to see someone coming in and thinking they're the shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like if the character thinks they're the shit, then fine.
Sure, sure.
You know what
sure.
I mean? But when in your real life, if you act that way, like mm-hmm. I really don't want to know you as a person.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So yeah. like I think it's important that I can read the person as learning and like articulating what the character needs,
mm-hmm.
you know, as opposed to like an ego. So like I've learned that for myself is a grown experience for myself mm-hmm. too, because we all have our egos, but it's
sure.
it takes.
I think you need a little bit of ego to survive here, you know. But but I mean it in the most positive way, you know. Like
yeah,
I said, I'm an educator and a teacher by nature,
right?
And to some extent, it may have been some of my demise, and I only mean in the sense I could be so much further along with the things that I do, but I spend so much time helping people or stopping or sitting on the middle of a set, reading somebody's script, giving them notes. I mean, I gotta help somebody. You know what I mean?
That's how like we all grow.
Yeah.
And if we're not growing, then, you know, what's the point?
Absolutely. Let me ask you one question. We're about to wrap it up in a minute. What was your favorite thing to shoot on Mouthpiece?
My favorite thing to shoot on Mouthpiece was actually that scene with my fiance.
Oh.
Because.
Is that the new one?
Yeah.
That you guys had by the fire?
Yeah, by the fire. Only because I had to face, you know, things inside of myself and things stirred inside of me.
Hmm.
So, like, I felt like I was being honest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that felt more organic and real to me as mm-hmm. opposed to, you know, picking up the regulars at the club or whatever. Because, like, that's the surface of the iceberg.
Sure, sure, sure.
Well, that scene was me facing some of my own demons. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So that was the best scene for me mm-hmm. to shoot.
Because
mm-hmm.
I grew. You know what's funny? There was a scene where, right before LaMonica takes Jackson by the throat,
mm-hmm.
that whole scene. And I don't know if it was just the two of you guys talking, but there was something going on, and you would like look like, damn, like he's talking about me. There was something, and there was a close up on you where I went like, you know what I mean? For a minute, I lost my breath.
Well,
and they cut back, and you still were there, even in the two shot. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's just, it's life experience. You know, mm-hmm. you go through a little bit of life and you realize that you don't know anything.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to sit back and be contemplative about certain things, but also not stay in that state and take action
mm-hmm.
because, you know, we ain't getting any younger. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying? So you just got to nail it down, man, when you get that chance.
Let's just tell the kids, what's next for you? What you got going on?
Well, we're producing this little mini series called Americana.
All right. You guys gonna do it on the web, or what you guys?
We're gonna do it on the web, just to get it out there, you know, because you know you got to keep it moving.
Yeah. Can you say what it's about, or just like a little?
Yeah. Well, blurb? You know, it's two LA drug traffickers, and mm-hmm. one it doesn't have any morals, and the other one does. So it's been their best friends from childhood. So it's an interesting dynamic.
Is something you gonna star in and produce?
Oh yeah, we're gonna star in producing it. yeah, we got some nice big names from some cool. other. We're excited about it, you know. Yeah. We got some other stuff on the horizon too. Some very interesting stuff. What is it? A psychopath gigolo was kind of interesting. But yeah, I'm having fun with this whole thing.
Yeah,
I'm really enjoying
myself.
See,
what I like is, and I was talking about it earlier. What I like is to hear. You know, it's been basically 3 years yeah. since we first started Mouthpiece.
Yeah, yeah. It's been
and here we are 3 years later.
Yeah.
3 years ago, you weren't producing.
No,
you know
I
what
wasn't.
I mean? So that's what I like to hear. Where, growth. You know, the progression, the growth, and you know what I mean? I think that is super important for the kids out there to realize you, today, you know, 5-10 years ago, yeah. you were focusing on, I'm just an actor, I'm just a writer, I'm just a director.
Yeah, yeah.
Today, motherfucker, you got to be a hybrid.
You got to okay? do everything because yes. there's so many opportunities that you're not taking advantage of. And if you don't, if you're not growing, then you know what, just stay in bed.
Well, on that note, thank you very much. Hey, is there any place people can find you? You on
yeah,
you
man,
on,
just
Instagram or
check me out
Twitter.
On Instagram, follow me on Facebook. I'm
tell
I'm
them
here.
What it is.
Sean Pullman
there
on
you
Instagram. You Google Sean Pullman, I'm there. I'll show up. All right.
That's what's up. Well, thank you very much for being on the show, man.
Thanks for
let's
having
get
me.
To the next person.
All right.
Thanks, Sean.
You're welcome.
What's up, you guys? We are back with the wonderful, beautiful, lovely, illustrious, isn't that a word he used in the script? Tatiana Dektar?
Dektar, that's right.
Dektar. All right. What's up, girl? How are you? Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for coming. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed it, actually.
Yeah, we just got through watching the screening for the movie. I was talking with Sean Pullman a moment ago about progression. And about how, you know, when I first helped David make this project early on, we started with, you know, we were going to do something on the web. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to do something as a pilot. And then next thing you know, he turned it into a film. And I'm like, see, to me, that is what we're supposed to do. You know, I was talking with Sean also about how now he's starting to produce. You know, and I was like, see, 3-4 years ago, you weren't producing, were you? He says, no. I said, you're fucking... Oh, yeah, you can cuss on my show, by the way. I said, see, you're fucking progressing. You know what I mean? And that is a good thing. So where are you from?
I'm originally from St. Petersburg, Russia.
You are not. She got
I
that
am.
Fake accent.
I am too.
She from over there.
I am originally from St. Petersburg,
oh,
Russia.
There you go.
And how I long can do you, Russian accent.
How long have you been here?
Over 6 years now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. See, she don't quite have her platinum card yet. She's still too young. You know what I mean? You get your platinum card when you're like 15, 10, 15, 20 years or something.
Not a veteran yet.
So how did you, were you always an actress or how did it come to you?
You know, it's kind of interesting because I have been acting since I was 15.
Okay.
But I wasn't actually pursuing acting. Mm. That's the fun part about it. I was a model since I was 14. I started at 14 years old.
Oh, really?
And anytime that, you know, like production companies needed, you know, like, beautiful girls, like model girls, mm-hmm. who could act, they would come to our modeling agency and they would be like, okay, which one of your girls can act? And they would always like say, this one can act, you know, like
and
this one is outgoing,
role,
she's
huh?
working, yeah.
That's
and
funny.
I would get a role and then I would get a, you know, like upgraded, mm-hmm. you know, like get more lines and stuff. And at that point, I didn't even realize what I was doing. Like I would be in a famous TV show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like with a celebrity, and they gave me like a bunch of lines. Can you memorize that right now? I'm like, sure, yeah. I was always, you know, like pretty good with memorizing the lines, you know, because
okay.
I write poetry.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, okay, cool, awesome, that's our girl. And then after that, one day, you know, like after the episode comes out, I come home and there's like a group of people like next to my apartment building.
Mm.
And at first, I didn't realize what the crowd was doing there. And then I started hearing my name. And I'm like, are they talking about me? And like, turns out those were the people who, like, some of them knew me, some of them didn't.
Mm.
And one of them, like, are you sure she lives here? It's like, I'm telling you, I used to go to school with that girl. And I was like, holy mother, they are talking about me. You
oh,
know, like,
funny.
And it was, yeah, it was like, it was really like a surreal experience because I didn't realize what it was, you know, like until this happened, and I was like, okay.
So you got a little bug there. Did it kind of make you feel good, or what did it do?
It freaked me out.
It freaked you out.
Yeah, you see a lot. You're a girl. You come back home. It's late. It's dark, and there's a bunch of men standing next to your apartment building
she
looking
didn't say
for
man,
you.
Did she didn't say man.
You know, so like,
funny.
Yeah.
Okay. So when did you come over to the States, and did you come here to be an actor or a model, or what did you come here for?
know, actually, you know, like a lot of people assume that I came to United States and the only place that I lived in was Los Angeles. I've traveled before I settled here, but I never felt compelled to stay anywhere else, even though, you know, those were like some amazing places, New York, Miami, you know, like I've been to some, you know, like really beautiful places in Colorado. Love it at all, but I wasn't feeling like it's my home. And here, I just kind of fit in, you know, like, because I'm a free spirit. I like to express myself. I'm an artist. I'm a deliberate creator. You know, like, so I like to put my mind to something and create something, you know, like it excites me so much. Some people are like, you know, like I just started working with some people on the project and I'm immediately, you know, like I'm seeing things, you know, like with the eyes of my character. I'm like, oh my gosh, we can do this and we can do that. And they're like, oh my God, we love your excitement about this. I'm like, well, I love it, you know.
That's so good. I like that. I like that. Now, when did you, so obviously you came in an audition for this role. What was it like for you to audition for us? And I'm always curious to ask an actor that. I never do.
Actually, this was very interesting because David knew my work from some people that I worked with before. Oh, okay. And I got recommended for it, apparently, because when he called me up, we didn't know each other, you know, like, so he was like, so I heard you can act. And I was like, well, let's hope so. So he's like, okay, cool. I'm going to need you to do this and that, you know, like, are you available? I'm like, oh, that sounds really cool. You know, like, yeah, of course I am, you know? So like, this is how it started. I didn't actually go through, the auditioning process for this one, but I'm super happy that I got to participate in this project. It was so much fun, and David is so easy to work with. He has this really nice combination of being serious and on point, and at the same time he's very easygoing, and he creates this like really good flow on set, you know.
See,
like
that's a perfect combination for a director. You need to be light and fun on the set, but you also need to be able to, you know, if you don't have a J.
Focus,
Michael Briggs,
get stuff
you
done.
Need to be able to, you need to be able to put your foot down and be like, guys, we need to go right now. You still need to be able to have a little bit of that, you know, that doesn't offend people or make people not want to work with you. And, you know, you just, it's a hard balance to have. And every director does not have it.
Absolutely. And I think it kind of comes natural for him. He's got this like enormous amount of charisma, and he basically makes an impression immediately that he's the man with the plan. You know what I mean? He's like, he's the guy who knows what he's doing.
I know what I'm doing.
He's, you can tell. And, you know, he's on the mission, you know, he's serious about, you know, you can see how he cares about everything, how much he, you know, like cares about his cast, about his crew, about being on time, you know, like about getting everything right. And at the same time, he's not afraid to kind of roll with the punches. So that's actually something that every actor really appreciates, because sure, we appreciate when everything is well planned out and we get our script in time, you know, like we can work on our lines and, you know, like we get like, you know, like good advice and everything. And but at the same time, you know, like, I mean, acting is still being. We channel those people. We basically allow them to come into this world, into our realm, through us, and express themselves through us. I mean, as characters, they are too, you know, like souls and spirits that were created by some other people out there. But, you know, they kind of like, they're alive, they have feelings, they have history. And our, you know, like job as actors, I guess, is to investigate it and find out who they are and kind of like invite them. Okay, come on and play, you know. And David allows it to happen. He allows the magic to happen. He will give you all the guidelines you need, but at the same time, he leaves room for you as an artist to add to the project.
And see, that's what you're supposed to do as a director. You're supposed to cast the right actors. All you do is give them a little bit of blocking so that you make sure the camera's where you want it to be or where you envision the shot, and then let them go.
Absolutely.
You know, they should be able to add to whatever is already written. You know what I mean? So what's next for you? What you got going on?
I have a very fun project that I'm working on right now.
Can you talk about it?
Yes, I can.
Can you just give us a little blurb about
what it is? I can give you a little bit, yes. Actually, a couple of projects I want to mention. there's a feature film coming out this year. It's called She-Wolves, and I'm playing a main villain.
Really? Congrats.
Yeah,
that's what's
that. Feature. And it's an immortal countess who is like 600 years old.
Horror movie?
It's a horror, yes. My it's a horror genre, yes. So she's a werewolf, mm-hmm. and she's kind of like, it's a very interesting story because like she kind of has like a pack of her own, okay. you know, like, and she's kind of like moving from one country to another and then finally comes to the United States. Mm. And this is when it gets really interesting mm-hmm. and really bloody. And
did you get to use your strong Russian accent for that, or what do you do for
actually
that?
I was a Romanian in this one.
Okay.
So I kind of, you know, like I don't always play Russians, okay. you know, like, but I do love actually playing Russians, mm-hmm. but
you prefer to play the bad girls than the good girls, or does it
like,
matter to you?
I like a good balance, okay. you know. I mean, honestly, they say that the villain is the victim whose story was never told.
Yes.
You know, basically there is no flat characters. There mm-hmm. is no one-sided, mm-hmm. you know, like one-sided story. There's always something more, and a good, you know, artist, a good director, you know, like a good screenwriter mm-hmm. will know that, and they will make sure to bring out, you know, the best even in the villain, and they will show that there's something mischievous even in the hero.
Definitely.
Which brings us to the other project where that I'm really excited about, mm-hmm. that's coming out really soon. It's called Superpower Beatdown. You heard of it?
No, I haven't.
Okay, Superpower Beatdown by Bat in the Sun. Really? And I am
sounds
playing...
Sounds like a song for like some cool pop band or something.
It does, doesn't yeah. it? Somebody mm-hmm. needs to write some, you know, like music and lyrics to that. So it's basically a web project, like a series of short films where these guys, they figured out something really amazing. Like they take superheroes from different universes, like Marvel versus mm-hmm. DC, for example, and have them fight each other, which would never otherwise happen in the real world because different universes mm-hmm. are, you know. So I'm playing Black Widow. I'm making an appearance as Black Widow.
Really?
Yeah, with okay. Natasha Romanoff, who mm-hmm. is a Russian super spy. And in the episode featuring Aaron Shonka and John Morrison.
Okay.
And they're playing Nightwing and Winter Soldier. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a pretty amazing fight. I think we're a couple of months away.
Okay. You already shoot it?
We already did some of the production. Okay. We already did some of the production. Mm-hmm. And some of the post-production has been already, you know, like figured out. And I am super anxious like to see this one. It's going to be awesome. Yeah.
Well, where can people find you? Are you on Twitter or Instagram or anything or Facebook?
I have all of the social media pretty much covered. I do have a Facebook fan page.
Okay. Tell people.
If you go to facebook.com/ Tatiana Dektar. This is where it gets really tricky. Uh-oh. I'm going to spell it out for you. TatianaDekHtyar, which is also my website. You know, like you can go to my mm-hmm. website, TatianaDektar.com.
Okay.
And it has links to my Twitter, my IMDb page, and my Facebook page.
Okay.
And well, cool. I'm also on Instagram. Well, what do you know?
Well, there you go. Little missed photos, right?
Everything is covered.
Thank you. Well, thank you. I appreciate you being on the show. Congrats for, you know, being a mouthpiece and what's happening for you in the future.
Super excited.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
So I'm here right now with my man, J. Michael Briggs, AD to the stars, also an actor. Let's clarify.
We've had this discussion before.
So my man, J. Michael, do they just call you J. Michael? What do they call you, J?
Michael is fine.
You prefer to
you
have
call
it the
me
mixture?
Whatever you want, just don't call me late to dinner. That's what my grandfather used to tell me.
So we got my man, J. Michael Briggs here, guys. Actor, producer. You write it all? Or you just...
I'll say no.
Okay, come a little closer to the mic, by the way. All right, cool. So, so you were the assistant, the AD on this.
I started out that way, yes. Mm-hmm.
And ended up getting himself. You know, it's funny. You told me you were going to be the bartender in the film, and I thought you were going to say one line. You were in like a long scene. You had a bunch of stuff.
That's crazy, huh?
Yeah, and he was like, he just kind of pretty much offered that to you, huh?
You know, from the very beginning, he kept telling me, mm-hmm. we're talking about David, the director. He kept telling me, man, I know you're an actor, and I'm going to take care of you. Don't mm-hmm. worry. I'm going to take care of you.
You know, he came through.
Yeah, he did. Right? He's a man of his word.
Yeah, I actually saw some tape on there that you could use, you know what I mean, on your reel. So
fantastic.
I think that's important, right?
That's good. I'll have you edit it for me.
So you and I were talking before the screening ever started, mm-hmm. That you aren't ADing as much anymore. You're still producing, but you really are an actor. Now let's just talk about what you and I were having a conversation about. We were talking earlier about how sometimes you think like you were asking me, hey Hilliard, you know, if you're casting, you let me know. And I'm like, I still see you as an AD. You know what I mean? When you meet somebody in one particular realm or their genre or whatever that they're working, you start thinking that's what they do. You know?
It's so true. It's funny. I'll tell you a funny story.
Yeah.
I've got friends of mine that I've worked with for, gosh, well over 12 years. Mm-hmm. And these are good friends. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we have Thanksgiving dinner together. And I can't get them to cast me in their movies because they want see you to be me the AD, as a producer or whatever.
But you really are, and I didn't mean to interrupt you, you really are one of the best ADs I've ever seen.
Oh, though. God bless you.
Energy-wise, likability, and still firm. Kind of what Tatiana was talking about having a director who has a little bit of both. You have a little bit
of
both,
too.
That's
very sweet of you.
You know what I mean?
I put that down, though. here's the thing. You know, LA is full of multi-hyphenates, and
absolutely.
God knows I'm one of them, too. So, but I think for those of us who aren't blessed with the dust...
Mm-hmm. We were talking about some dust earlier.
Yeah,
sometimes you have a little bit of that dust, fairy dust, you know, that just blesses you, you know what I mean? Tatiana has it, though, with her pretty self.
Oh, again. She does, yeah. I noticed her when I first saw her walk on set when we did our scene. I was like, wow. Felt the energy. She was great. so if you don't have that magic dust, you've really got to multi-hyphenate yourself in a town like this.
Yes.
Because, look, it's a given that people are talented.
Mm-hmm.
That's not even a question.
True.
And casting is not going to be about who's more talented than the other person.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So to me, I needed to focus more on the acting because that's where my heart is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's always been that way. I mean, for 25 years.
No, see, this is important to me because, like you were saying, a lot of people are multi-hyphenates. You know,
sure.
I'm a multi-hyphenate. I came here in 1996 to be an actor. You know, I was working since I was 12 years old. You know, who knew that I was going to be doing all this shit and on the other side of the camera? And I wrote a script and went to Sundance, and I was like, oh, shit.
Right.
Maybe that's what I'm supposed to do. You know what I mean? Who knew? And but I'm all about progression. You know, how do you progress to the next thing? How do you need to be open to change?
Sure.
You know what I mean? And I think that's kind of what we're talking about is you even though to me you are one of the best ADs I've ever seen in Hollywood, and I've seen a lot of them, you had to decide for yourself, okay, did I come here to be an actor or did I come here to be an AD?
Right. And
I
that
have
became
to cut
a trap
off
for
somewhere.
Me. It
right?
did. I started booking a lot of work as an AD and I had to take a step back and be like, well, wait a minute. You know, is this really what I want to do?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the more AD jobs I had, the more people knew me as an AD and less people knew me as an actor. So
good point.
It became a hard choice for me.
Mm-hmm.
I like doing the AD stuff. It's lots of fun. And let me tell you, man, the first time I was ever on set, I was at home. That was it. I was done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I didn't have anything to do with anything then.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and I think that's probably why I started doing AD work is because I just wanted to be home.
Well, you know, the good thing about being an AD, and I was just talking about this on another show with another producer, if when you're an AD, you know almost everything on the set. And if you don't know it, you're familiar with almost everything, every department, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It is one of the best things to do.
It's pretty cool. I was with David before we started shooting, like months before we started shooting.
You guys have to become best friends.
Yeah, knocking down the shot lists and all that stuff. And we spent a lot of time and a lot of Starbucks together, you know, getting everything ready. So, yeah. Really, you're a clock. I think an AD is more of a clock watcher than anything else. I think that's the number one job for an AD.
Okay.
Watching the clock.
Interesting.
You know, the producers worry about the money. The AD worries about hitting, you know, that time.
Mm-hmm.
You've got so much time to get so many shots in a day.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to hit that clock. Yeah. You got to be constantly
watching. You do not
want to
call Grace.
No. That's an evil word.
Exactly.
So, it's a pretty stressful gig. And while I was happy at home, you know, doing the AD stuff, you know, that voice in the back of my head says, hey, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're kind of getting distracted here.
Sure.
So we need to refocus. And I'm glad I did because things picked up for me, you know, on the other side. So.
I mean, that's why I wanted to talk to you about that just a little bit because I think that's important. You know, a lot of people out there come to Hollywood with a dream to either be an actor, writer, director, producer, whatever the hell, and then you get sidetracked on something else because it's paying you more money. You know, you decide to just be a nurse or not, you know, whatever it is that you do. And I always think at some point you have to decide, what am I going to sacrifice, right? Am I going to sacrifice the place I live, the car I drive, the shoes I wear to do what I need to do,
right?
You know, and I think that's what you kind of have to decide, for yourself.
I'm laughing because I just recently had a very similar conversation with a good friend of mine, Radon Chung. We were talking about this over lunch, and she was telling me, you know, because I also I'm a nurse, an emergency room nurse. That's one thing. So I'll, you know, pick up shifts every once in a while. It's called registry, so I can work in any hospital. Anywhere in LA County, I can work whenever I want. So it's great as an actor. You know, if I want to do something, or if I don't, if I have downtime, or you know, if I want to keep myself busy when things aren't busy, that's a great way to do it and make some money. Mm-hmm. And Radon was telling me, she's like, you know, Michael, you got to stop doing that. You know, you got to stop doing the nursing. And
if that's not what you want to do,
no. And I told her, I said, listen, you know, I do this for, you know, really for my soul, more than anything else.
Okay,
it keeps you grounded, helping people. It really does.
I agree.
And I also made a joke with her. I told her, I said, listen, you were born a celebrity. You have no idea what it's like for real.
Who is daddy?
Hello. So anyway, yeah, she laughed. But I think there's three paths to happiness, through the head, through the heart, and through the soul. Mm-hmm. And if you can fashion a life that puts a light on all three of those areas, you're going to do okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, on that note, let's just tell people where can they find you and tell you.
Just search J. Michael Briggs and all the stuff will come up.
Okay,
it's there. You know, IMDb, Facebook, you know, all the social media stuff.
Because you always promote some movie or something you're in.
I've got Run Like Hell that's out now. Mm-hmm. Please go watch it. Run Like Hell.
Yeah,
spelled just like it sounds. You can get it anywhere online. It's out on DVD. I think it's in some of the stores. I think Xbox has it, which is crazy to me, because I was like, Xbox movies,
all the kids are playing. Why not let them watch some shit?
So it's out there. Please go watch my movie and support me. And I play the bad guy, and it was fun. So I think you'll like it. It's a little bit, if I had to compare it to something, I'd say a lot like The Devil's Rejects.
Okay. Good. Love that tone.
But a nice little nice little twist to it. Right. I think people that like horror will really enjoy that movie. Mm-hmm. I have another one out right now called Hard Sun. Mm-hmm. We just won an award over at the Orlando Film Festival. It's been making the rounds. It's also out and available everywhere. iTunes, Amazon, you name it. Anywhere online, you just search Hard Sun. That's S-U-N.
Yeah.
Not S-O-N. And you'll find it. It's out there. You can also go to the websites. I believe runlikehellthemovie.com, and you can just pick it up directly from the company. Mm-hmm. And also hardsunmovie.com.
Okay.
I hope I got that right.
Okay.
If I didn't, don't kill me, producers. So.
Well, thank you, J. Michael Briggs. Oh, we appreciate it,
listen,
buddy.
Listen, I'm a fan, Hillier. Hey. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Man. I appreciate it. What's up, y'all? So we are back with my man, Josh. You say Pertler? How do you say the last name?
Pertler, yes.
Pertler.
Sir. German.
Oh, now you're German, too.
I'm not German, but it is.
My man, Josh, excuse me, who plays, what's your character's name?
Matt?
That ain't what they call you, though, Choir Boy.
Choir
Look at
boy.
Him, he's trying to sneak out like he ain't Choir Boy.
I mean, legal name, Matthew, but Choir Boy, yeah, you know, okay. The young, naive one that kind of keeps everybody together. And,
yeah. You know. So if you could describe Mouthpiece, how would you tell people what Mouthpiece is about?
Oh, man. I would say it's a show where it's like real life. I don't want to say Entourage, but it's something where it's like...
I don't think it's a bad thing to say it's Entourage.
It's not a bad thing.
You know what I mean?
But yeah.
I always say it's Entourage with hella more flavor. You feel me? If that makes sense?
Way more flavor. Yeah. You know, a little less. A
lot more
bland.
Sexier. Yeah, definitely. You know,
a lot
edgier.
More color.
Yo, come on now.
Just a little more color, too. Yeah. Just a little bit, though.
Keep it real. That's
yeah,
what's up.
Yeah, for sure. But it was great filming. Filming it was awesome. I wasn't even old enough to get in the clubs at the time, actually.
Damn, so you were that
young? I really, because my character is naive, and I don't know how to talk to girls. Like,
so really, was you kind of like weird, at the time?
Unfortunately, really? In 2010, that was
interesting.
Me.
Interesting.
But, you know, we... So watching it, I'm like, oh, I was really scared. Like, I'm looking at myself nervous. Mm-hmm. I'm actually nervous.
Yeah, there's moments I can see. Even like the very first scene when you guys come up the elevator, knees were shaking.
That was the first shot we shot, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, it was so last minute getting mm-hmm. the role that I couldn't even cut my hair. You know,
but let me tell the people, for those who don't know.
Right.
So, we had cast probably two other guys before you. And for whatever reason, one dude didn't want to do it. He thought it was too risque.
Right.
Another dude was like, oh, I'm not sure. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. This is a very edgy movie.
Right.
You know? And I was talking to some of the other guys earlier. I was talking to Sean Poolman. And I was like, this is a really edgy show. Right? And I'm all about progression. You got to admit, this has been kind of interesting for you guys. 3.5 years later,
yeah.
whatever it is, here you are still shooting scenes.
Oh, you know what I mean?
You guys are doing like freaking Boyhood or some shit.
Yeah, see, luckily we're black.
Yeah,
and,
you know what I mean?
Black don't crack. So
yeah,
we still
luckily.
Look the same.
Luckily.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that must have been an interesting ride to have to keep coming back. Because let's just tell the people. So, first we shot it like a web series,
right?
Then we made it into a pilot, and then we made it into a fucking movie.
And this whole time I'm in Chicago.
Yeah, and so you going back and forth to Chicago, back and forth to Chicago.
I tried to, but there were times I couldn't make it. So even just watching it tonight, I really just didn't know what to expect.
Really?
At all. Yeah, it was crazy.
It's funny because I've seen it so many times and, you know, being one of the producers, but now... I haven't seen this longer version.
Right.
So sitting back watching it longer is like, damn, it's fucking longer.
Yeah, right.
All these crisp scenes inside of a studio.
You know, I kept catching myself, like, when I would talk, I'd look down, like, man, I really was young. And
mm-hmm.
But it shows good.
Yeah, I loved it. So, I mean, the difference between me then and now is definitely...
Funny you say that. I was thinking about that, particularly with you. You and Sean in particular, for some reason, when I was watching the movie going, I wonder what they think, like, what things would they do differently now? Now that you're more mature.
Right.
You know, because you still look like you could still play the same fucking kid.
Oh, definitely.
You know
definitely.
What I mean?
Luckily. We'll knock on wood with that one. I don't know how long that's going to last.
Pretty Ricky, what they call him. Yeah, I know. Here's the deal. Let me give you some game. Give me some game. I was an actress since I was 12 until I was 32 or 3.
Okay.
Right? Worked all the time. With Lorenz Tate and all them cats,
right?
Now, here's a good thing about you. This is something you got to embrace. Embrace how you look in the roles you play. I was up to like 25, 30 years old, and I still was playing 16, 17 years old. I'm 44.
What?
See that? Y'all
there
didn't
we
know
go.
That.
All right, all right.
Pretty Ricky with the
pretty,
call.
Pretty Ricky.
This could be you.
Good.
And embrace it because, Trip, you got to realize that you are, how old are you now? Do you mind me asking?
24.
So you're 24 now. So if you still go in for a kid who's 18, he trying to add the half like he grown and some shit. Look, if you go in for a kid who's, let's just say, 17, right? Me as a producer, I'm looking for a guy like you who can still play younger to so that I don't have to pay for that shit.
Yeah, definitely.
Right? You know, so embrace it.
No,
better acting chops than motherfuckers.
Yeah, we don't have to babysit. You know. Don't need a babysit.
You don't need all that. We don't need to have a teacher. We don't need to have any of that stuff. So,
because I used to hate it.
Embrace it because here's the other catch. Now that you're more experienced and more mature, than you were 4 years ago. Imagine going in for a role like this now.
I was thinking that tonight.
So you would kill the kids now. So when you go into auditions, embrace when you go in for a younger role.
Right.
Keep playing the younger roles until you can get the other shit. You know,
until
you get to be old ass, you know, Jackson McQueen or some shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But until then, you know, embrace that.
Yeah.
But let me just back, because I was talking about how we had originally cast a couple other guys, you know, who were going to play the role. And I never forget... I got this call from David or Catherine back to one of the other producers at the time. And it was like, we're going to go with this other guy at the less. I was like, what?
With the one credit? With the one credit on his IMDb?
That pretty model
let's
dude?
Go
nah,
with it.
I don't think so. Yeah. No, I'm kidding. But you came in, though, and in the last minute, and you were ready, though. You were
really
prepared. Actually, as much as you can see the flaws that you have as an actor at that time, actually worked for the character.
Okay.
You were supposed to, right? You were supposed to be a fucking fish out of water.
Yep.
You know
what
I mean?
Exactly
what
it was.
So you can tell people I was playing like I didn't know shit.
And
you right?
know, and the crazy thing is, like, David, the director, mm-hmm. is friends with my cousin, Rasan, mm-hmm. Who I actually lived with when I first moved out here. So the whole mouthpiece, like, story is mm-hmm. my story. I mean, I moved out here from Chicago when I was 18, 19. I lived with my cousin, mm-hmm. and him and his crew, like, showed me around.
Oh, really?
And it's, like, it's life imitating art.
Interesting. Oh, like you smart. He went to Chicago, went to college, and came back. Now he thinks he's...
Yeah, I decided just... I needed to calm down, go mm-hmm. to college for a semester, and then come back to L.A. That's exactly
so
what,
is that what you did?
That's exactly what I did.
Okay, you were gone for 4 months, yeah. and you came back.
I learned...
You went back and forth a couple times,
didn't you?
This
is my third time living in L.A.
Wow.
Yeah.
At least you're doing it, because I'm going to tell you, I have been here since 1996. I can't tell you... Every time I meet an actor, writer, director, producer, whatever, and they've been here for a year, and they're like, well, I think I'm going to move back home, and then I'm going to come back in a year. I'm like, you're not fucking coming back.
Right. Yeah.
You're not fucking... All y'all. I'm telling all y'all bitches. Y'all
everybody.
Ain't coming back. And I mean bitches in a respectful way. So don't be... Okay. They got their girls in here, you know. I'm like, y'all bitches. They're like, who you calling bitch? I'm like, 'cause I'll fight a girl, you know. Hey. All right.
Jackson fought a girl in the movie,
okay.
so...
Okay.
We got to do it.
I don't know. She was bigger than him, though. That's all I'm saying. So what's next for you? What you got going on?
Right now, I'm modeling full time.
Mm-hmm. So I can't even go to Wells Fargo Bank. My man just staring at me, looking at me, going, "That's all the money you bringing
in
here?"
Honestly, Wells Fargo that ended, so no more Wells Fargo
I know,
ATMs.
Teasing.
But
that was on for a while,
that was on
though.
For a couple years,
yeah.
So and then Foot Locker, I'm on the website right now.
Oh, cool.
I do that about every other month, and. Just did Rue 21 and K-Swiss, mm-hmm. modeling-wise, but...
Who are you with for modeling?
I'm with MSA. So okay. they're a smaller agency based out of New York, but
they moved them
over here mm-hmm. to LA, and like they got a few good ones, and mm-hmm. then they just, you know, focus and try to
okay.
get that bank account a little higher. Yeah. But mostly music right now. I rap.
Oh, you rap?
Yeah.
What?
You got some shit? You got some stuff?
Yeah.
You got something you can give me?
Like, you want me to rap?
No. Well, I might fuck with you. Don't be teasing me. But Tripp, here's the deal. At the end of my show, I usually play my theme song
yeah.
or some other fucking music that's jamming.
Yeah.
So if you got a cool ass, you know, MP3 or some shit, something that's jumping,
yeah.
I'll bump it.
Definitely.
So what you got that you like so I can tell the kids?
We're going to bump some of my music?
Yes, that's what I'm trying to say. We are all, just for those who don't know, all you kids who just walked in, we are all over the world, okay? Screenwriters Rant Room is everywhere.
Right.
Okay? All 51 states. 51, 52. How many states we got? 59. 59? 240 states? Nah. But we are, like, all over the place, right? And we are in over 30 countries.
Wow.
Dude, it's crazy.
What?
Brazil, Australia. I mean, everywhere, dude. It's crazy. See? It's because of me.
Hey,
they love me. We love y'all back, motherfuckers. But look, so Tripp, you feel like giving us a little spit?
I could spit. I'm trying to find some of my
music. Just spit something for us. Give us a little something.
All right, here we go.
You know?
Be nervous because I don't judge you.
So I'm Pertla, by the way. You could find me on Instagram or Twitter at Pert, P-E-R-T-P-E-R-T-L-A, Pert Pertla. So, you know, going a little freestyle. All right. I'm in the sky like a red eye, coming from the west to NY. Sometimes I will disguise the fright and focus on my life. I take all of the other shit and roll it up. I smoke it once, maybe twice. By the time I land, the sun's coming up, shine bright. It's too early for this light. Goodbye, like Harry Houdini, you cannot find me. And you're really trying to figure out how I got here. I'm just chilling back and unwinding. I'm on the grind and you're looking admiring. Never stop dreaming, keep believing. Journey told me better go and hold on to that feeling, and people need to go green fresh. I'm making meals here, stay hungry, never give them what they want, because what you got'll make them numb and they won't feel nothing like cocoa gummies. And it ain't about the money, but I know my mama would love something in the country, middle of nowhere and a couple whips, then poof, I'm in the air on some Houdini shit.
That's what's up.
Chicago?
Yeah.
Just a little Chicago.
Chicago.
Just a little Chicago.
That's what's up.
A little bit.
Well, on that note, thank you very much, Josh.
Yeah.
That's a good one. We
thank
appreciate
you for
that.
Having me.
Yeah.
Thank you. beautiful ladies around again at Pertla.
Are you on? You on Twitter too?
I'm on Twitter, but you know it's.
You ain't never really on Twitter. But you on Instagram all the time.
IG all day.
You know, y'all
Snapchat.
Kids.
Snapchat that pert hurt.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Josh. Appreciate we appreciate it, man. Buddy. What's up, y'all? Yeah, so check it. We are here.
Yeah.
Oh, hell no. We're here with the one and only Jackson McQueen, actor, comedian with his crazy self.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm in the building.
We're going to be getting in with y'all today, as you see. So, of course, we just got through watching Mouthpiece, my man, playing 5 feet.
5 feet of hell.
Of hell. That's what they say, right?
Lincoln is his name. He was the accountant and also the comedic resource.
True.
For the movie.
Which is funny, though, because you know how people, you know how at the end of a movie they'll show somebody doing the outtakes and shit. Of course, they focused on you, which I thought was funny.
That was weird. That was weird, right?
But it was funny, like, though.
You use my blooper reel? You use everybody. Shit. That was a little awkward for me to watch the vulnerability of the bloopers.
But let's talk about this thing, because you came in and read for this role, dude, and... I mean, you were up against a lot of good comedian actors in this thing. You know, Lamar Tate, there was a lot of cats who came in for this
role.
There
was some hitters in there, I noticed, some hitters.
Yeah, it was a lot of them.
But they weren't me. They weren't I. Yeah.
Here's what you have that stood out for me. Okay. I mean, David has his own reasons why, because he made, you know, the final decisions. You have, what's the word I want to use?
Talent?
Uninhibited. Okay. You're uninhibited.
Okay.
I think that is a huge key. And you should listen to this, Josh, and the rest of y'all suckers in here. Josh and all y'all. Being uninhibited as an actor is one of the best things you can be. Especially as you being a comic actor, standing up there in front of people night after night after night makes you uninhibited. Because you are vulnerable on the stage.
Free. I try to be right? Free. You know what I mean?
Free Nelson. Now. We're supposed to go on a song. Now, Trip, it makes you uninhibited to be able to handle almost anything. Wow. I'm one of those type of producers and directors when I'm working on a project. Would you guys see, when you guys came in, you guys had to play theater games and shit.
Yeah.
Because we wanted to see, are you willing to be uninhibited? Are you willing to be put in any situation that we can handle? You took every fucking situation. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what we were looking for. You know, sometimes
you have to be willing to play. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think that's our art form is playing around. We're doing a child's game at a king's ransom.
That's right.
So you got to be able to play.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Thank you.
Look at Mr. Movie Star over here.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have any scenes that was your favorite scene?
You know what David said. I thought my scenes. I love the when with Sean and Raina.
Mm-hmm.
Rainy
by the fireplace.
The fireplace with his pajama.
He was killing with the little underwear.
Like, dude, wear drawers, man, or a towel or something.
I mean,
no pajama pants, and she had lingerie.
He should have had on some boxers or something.
That wardrobe choice was suspect.
It was very.
But I thought they were dialed in. I really thought it was. Yeah. I thought it was one of the most realer moments of the movie.
They were committed.
Yeah.
You know, and I was talking to Sean about that. About he was in it at the moment.
Yeah.
You know, I was telling him there was a moment where the two of you guys were sitting at the bar. I think before. Big Country comes in and takes you by the throat.
Okay.
Where you guys are having a conversation, and they do like a one little close up on him, and he's like you said something to him, and I almost lost my breath for a second. Mm-hmm. I was like, you were in right there.
Oh,
for a minute.
Man.
You know what I mean?
No. And that was a reshoot later. So, like, I mean, his chops, you really could see, like, you know, I think we all kind of grew, but yeah. Mm-hmm. You got some chops. I think everybody had chops.
I think we had a really interesting cast. You know, like, we were talking to Josh about. You know, him being young and naive at the time.
Yeah,
he really was in real life.
He was young, dumb.
And he used that.
Full of young. You know what I'm saying? I tell you, when he's young.
You look in the dictionary of the young, this motherfucker's smiling, wasn't
he? Yeah. He's a young dude. Young cat.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so what you been up to, man? What's been going down?
You know, we do a lot of stand-up.
Mm-hmm. How often you get out?
You know, probably 8 days a week.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
Hold on. Kids, all you comedians, y'all hear this shit? How many times?
8 days a week.
8 days a week.
Twice a night if I can. I try to hit as many open mics or clubs I can.
See, this is what I'm talking about. If fucking Chris Rock, as big as he is, can still go on small stages to practice, get his shit going 8 days a week.
It's a craft. You just got to get better.
You have to.
There is no end game.
There's no end game.
You only get better. You can't peak. So you gotta keep getting better.
You watch that show that Jerry Seinfeld one he does with the coffee shit and driving in the car. You gotta watch.
But I heard it's good. Yeah.
Watch the one with Chris Rock and watch the one with Kevin Hart in particular.
Okay.
Kevin talks about how, because what do you do? They drive around. They're just talking.
He's
shit.
He's a hard worker.
They're just driving around talking shit, right? And then eventually they get to a point where they go down and sit and have coffee, right? Anywhere, wherever they are. He sits down with Kev, right? Mm-hmm. And Kevin at some point is talking about Eddie Murphy and how when he first met Eddie Murphy and they had a very intimate conversation and he was begging Eddie, why don't you get back on the stage? And Eddie was saying, I was curious to hear this from another comedian. Eddie was basically saying, I already did it. I don't feel like I can top it again. Mm-hmm. Whereas people like Chris Rock and like you guys, you get, fucking Jerry Seinfeld still is out there all the time.
Well, I think
I think Eddie, he's
scared.
I believe that.
You know, like, he's scared. I mean, because when he left, he was the top of the game. Yeah. So people expect so much from him. So he has to put in work to get back. So he's afraid of doing that work to get back to that level.
Okay.
That's all it is. Yeah. You know, because he fell off. Because there are a lot of comedians who are funnier than him right now.
Oh, I believe
that. That's the reality of it. So he get back in the game, he'll start over. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, he's rich. So that broke hunger you have is gone sometimes. Yes. You got to try to eat. Either you have broke hunger or you have, I want to be the best hunger, like Chris Rock and Josh. You know what I'm saying? I have broke hunger. But I just want to get better.
I thought you was rolling.
I wanted to just get better. I do a lot of commercials. So I just shot a Southwest Airlines commercials. You can check it out. Probably March Madness.
Wait, what you got out now? Tell them again.
I'm a Ford commercial. I mean, you know, I do like commercials, man. And they air when they want to air. So. Mm-hmm. I can tell you their schedule. You know, the thing about commercials, we don't get credits. You know what I mean? We don't get credits. We don't get, no one knows.
I know, you can't even use it on IMDb and shit. Ain't that a bitch?
Not even close. However, I did get like the top 20 most recognizable commercial actors at one point.
That's good.
Yeah, that was a good year.
It's like 1974. I was rolling.
That was a good year.
Well, Tripp, you talking about commercials. Now, when I was an actor, because I actually come from the theater, and I started doing
the theater.
That's good. I previously graduated from Harvard.
Cambridge of Harvard. yes, Juilliard. Yes,
previously. Yes. Now.
Yale School of Drama. Cambridge. Yes, Dartmouth. I believe it was there. go ahead, Thespian.
Made me forget my goddamn thought. Isn't that a bitch?
I came from the theater, so the theater is why my
original. Yeah, here's a trip. Now. I always encourage people to get into commercials because commercials is a good place to really learn your craft fast.
Make money.
Well, yes. However, they don't air them the way they used to. You know, when I was an actor,
man,
back in the day,
who you telling?
I would have a commercial out for 2 or 3 years.
Who you know telling? What I mean? You can buy a house off one spot.
You feel me?
Now you might buy a pack of beans in Ralph's. You can't. They don't air because now they shoot 8 spots. They air on cable. Exactly. It's crazy. My very first spot I shot, I made $80,000.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Where's my 10%, bitch?
I'm saying. You know? Now that's years ago. Now you might make 10, 5. You might make. You know what I mean? Or it might not air.
Mm-hmm.
I shot.
But it takes you time to make that money.
It's crazy.
People think you got it all now.
I shot 7 last year.
Wow.
Only one aired for 1 month.
What?
How about that? So the people think you balling.
Yeah.
Nigga broke.
Yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying? They think you balling. People think you are balling. You be like, Josh being on print ads, you know what I'm saying? Think you balling. Mm-hmm. You broke.
Yeah.
Hey, mama, can I borrow $10?
Yeah. You're like, I ain't Tyrese.
Exactly. So, you know what I'm saying? So understand, when you see a commercial actor or somebody like Josh on Wells Fargo, that nigga broke. Mm-hmm. So just know that. Just assume he's broke. Assume
you. It might pay. It might pay for a couple rents, but that's it.
Assume. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Because it's not consistent.
But what you do see is the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying? You still go. He's working. He's working. So he. Oh yeah. Eventually he'll get there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I've seen overnight successes take 10 years, but you know how it is. You know.
Absolutely. So what's next for you? What you
gonna do? Like I said, man, I mean, I'm on stage someplace every night in L.A.
Do you have a favorite spot you pop into?
You know,
on a regular, like every week?
What's near me? I'm at the Ha Ha Comedy Club in North Hollywood, mm-hmm. or at Flappers Comedy Club in Burbank.
I love
those. Those are my two favorite because they're mm-hmm. like they're close to me. Mm-hmm.
Do you know Mick Betancourt?
I'm sure know his face.
Okay, he's a big comedian. He's one of the writers on Law and Order, a bunch of big shows and shit. But he writes drama, but he's actually a comedian.
Does he get up a lot, maybe?
All the time.
Check him out.
All the time. I'm actually going to be guesting on his show next week.
There's so many comedians out here. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
But how do you stand out as a comedian?
I mean, because I'm a beast. You know what I mean? I mean, let's be real. You know what I mean? You know, I do me. I've learned to really just try to focus on what makes me funny.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? The whole jokey jokes, no, now I try to make it more personalized. It's harder to steal.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Because that's the thing. See, Mick talks about how when he first started, anybody could pretty much have done his jokes.
Yeah, totally.
Now he's talking about his life. Now he's talking about...
Exactly.
You know what I mean? How many years you been into the game as a comedian?
10 years plus.
Okay, so now you're right at that age now, or at that time where you're supposed to start figuring your voice.
Your own voice.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like they can steal your jokes, but they can't steal your style. Yeah. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah.
So what's up? You going to spit?
Oh, yeah. You ready?
Yeah, we ready.
She laying by the pool, rubbing in some lotion. SPF 15, looking like a queen. That's all I got. That was good, though. I got bores. I got bores.
16 of them motherfuckers.
Yeah. That's all I got.
So, yo, you on Instagram or
Instagram,
Twitter?
Instagram me at JacksonMCQ. That's JACKMCQ. Mm-hmm. Snapchat, Jackson McQueen.
What the fuck is Snapchat?
Twitter, Jackson McQueen.
Let's show you how old my old.
I love Snapchat, man. Hot chicks. I love Snapchat.
What is it? Is it like
man? Once you get on it, man, you'll see. Right. It's actually better than the Instagram to me.
And everybody's on it. It's just y'all little.
Hopefully they on it. Y'all on it? Cause I want to see y'all. The two ladies in. You know what I mean? Looking all tasty. So hopefully they're. You know, I'll stalk them later. You can stalk later. Jackson McQueen.
That's what's up.
JAC, all that stuff, whatever. I have two last names.
Well, y'all see how we do it on the Screenwriters Rant Room. We just silly, y'all. We hear it, like I said, we hear live at the Mouthpiece screening over here at Sony Plaza.
Plaza.
That's some real shit right there. Mm-hmm. Thanks a lot, Jackson. We appreciate
man.
It, buddy.
Thank you, man. Yeah. Say, I'll be back. Keep a lookout for a Mouthpiece at a theater or Red Box near you. Yeah.
And we're back again. This time we got my man, the main man, David Merritt, you guys, director, writer, producer. I know I'm missing 10 more hyphens. Instructor for the Brave New World.
Yes,
that
sir.
Is some shit right there. You know what I mean? So, yo, man, first let me just start off, dude. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
You know, every time I see you, you just fucking progress. You are around the corner from being somebody important, and it's going to happen.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
You know what I mean? I've watched you grow up in the sense of coming to L.A., wanting to do your shit, mm-hmm. and making shit happen.
Thank you.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I see you sitting in the pocket. Does that make sense to you? You know how motherfuckers sit in the pocket? Like, when mm-hmm. they might be, like Josh. Mm-hmm. Like, I watched Josh, and we were talking earlier, and you'll hear it when you see the show. We're talking about how he was uncomfortable at first
mm-hmm.
when he watched himself tonight in particular, looking mm-hmm. at where he was 3.5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And now where he is now. Now he's 24. Uh-huh. He's a little more mature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he really was that kid.
Yes.
And I was like, that's why David wanted you.
That's why.
And I was like, you sure? David's like, that's the guy. That's what we need. Right?
Exactly.
And I'm like, we need an actor. You're like, no, that's the motherfucker we need.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And get a little closer. And I said, that actually showed on the screen it needed the fish out of water. It needed somebody who was real like that.
Mm-hmm.
It may feel like, oh, I wasn't acting, you know, and being upstaged by these guys. But no, it needed somebody innocent. You really were the real motherfucker.
Exactly.
You feel me?
You hit it right on the head.
Yeah.
And when we were talking outside, mm-hmm. Josh was saying that was his real life story.
I believe
when
that.
He came here, he literally just moved in with his cousin.
Mm.
And he just came from Chicago. He mm-hmm. was 19 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He'd never been to a club,
mm-hmm.
never drank. And so he was really a fish out of water, hanging with LaMonica, hanging with my boy Rasan Mitchell, who's mm-hmm. his cousin. And he's never seen this world before. So when he was acting, he was being himself. Mm-hmm. When he was uncomfortable, he was being himself. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what we needed. Mm-hmm. We needed that genuine naivete. We needed that innocence, mm-hmm. which brought the project to a level of truth. We brought it to another level.
Because he didn't need to act it. He was already there. He was mm-hmm. feeling. Then he was nervous to be in film.
Uh-huh.
Among all these pros with all these cameras and uh-huh. these freaking award-winning DPs and shit. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So yeah, I feel you. Yeah, it was a combination.
Mm-hmm. And when we had that scene with him and Randall Walker, shout out to Randall Walker. She mm-hmm. couldn't be here today. Mm-hmm. She's expecting her second child. Congratulations, Randall.
Wow, that's what's
and
up.
To your husband and your beautiful family. Mm. But when that scene with him and Randall Walker, when they're at the pool party, mm-hmm. that just really resonated with me. Mm-hmm. You know, with her being so sexy and she's been there, done it all, seen mm-hmm. it all. And then to have that with that naivete, with him being so innocent. Mm-hmm. And when she says, so you cool? He's like, yeah, I'm cool. I'm chilling. And so we really felt that.
We
felt that awkwardness. And that's what really, to me, brought it to life.
Okay, so let's just tell the kids, for the ones out there, let's give them just a little gist of what Mouthpiece is all about. So when we get to the end, we make sure we get that in there.
Okay, Mouthpiece is about like five gentlemen, five mm-hmm. guys who mm-hmm. become friends, who become brothers. And mm-hmm. like brothers, you fight, mm-hmm. you get pissed at each other. At mm-hmm. the same time, you love each other. You mm-hmm. create a bond. So I wanted to tell a story about five guys who come to Los Angeles and who are searching for themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, they're looking for success. They're looking for opportunity. Mm-hmm. They're looking for love.
Sound familiar, y'all?
They're looking for sex.
Yeah.
And I did mention sex.
4 to 4 times.
But, you know, that's what it is to be young, you know, mm-hmm. and to come to Los Angeles and this world in which we live in is just so fragmented. And mm-hmm. being in Los Angeles, it's hard to make real relationships. Mm-hmm. It's hard to really get to know someone mm-hmm. because, you know, this is such a transient place.
True.
Somebody you'll know one day will be gone the next. Mm-hmm. You know, people are always sleeping on somebody's couches. People are sleeping in their cars. Mm-hmm. People are trying to make it, not just in entertainment. You know, they're trying to make it in business. They're mm-hmm. trying to make it just a life here. And so I really wanted to show something about these different people from different parts of life who come together, who have a real friendship, a real mm-hmm. bond, and who are trying to make something out of themselves.
Well, let me tell you something. Here's something that I noticed today. Now, I've seen all of the elevations of this film, and I was talking to each and every one of them, mm-hmm. talking about the progression. You and I talk about progression all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I love that you progress. You started as a web series. You mm-hmm. moved on to a pilot.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's a fucking whole feature. Almost get emotional. It's a movie.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. But see, you get
it's
it.
It's a movie.
People have to see that it takes steps,
yeah.
and you have to be able to. Because, the real thing is that you believed in it, man.
Yeah.
You saw the promise in the script, and the actors reacted when mm-hmm. they read the script. They're like, this shit is funny
it
as hell.
They
was like, this is real. This mm-hmm. is me. Mm-hmm. I see myself in this. You know mm-hmm. how to say the first thing you need to do as a writer, tell stories, you know.
Absolutely.
Tell stories is true. I told stories is really what happened to me in L.A., mm-hmm. what happened to friends I know. Mm-hmm. You know, you get kicked out. You know, you're living on a couch, mm-hmm. You know, because you messed with some other girl. Now you're like, shit, where the hell am I going to go now? You know what I'm saying? Either, you know, you ever been that person who's sitting in the bushes?
Mm-hmm.
Love makes you do crazy shit like that. You mm-hmm. waiting in the bushes, looking through the window, talking about, I know she home.
Mm-hmm.
I see a car. I know she home. What do you mean she ain't home?
Mm-hmm.
All those kind of things, those mm-hmm. crazy things mm-hmm. that love makes us do.
I see your feet up under the curtain.
I see your feet under the curtain.
That shit. That must have lost me the last time. When I heard that to Don Alvos.
Well, that was the newest part.
Was that new?
Yeah, the new part.
Shit.
So,
funny, dude.
Thank you, brother. So that evolution
yes.
of staying committed to a story, mm-hmm. that's what it comes down to.
Mm-hmm.
Staying committed to understanding this is a story that I feel that's important enough to be told.
Mm-hmm.
That's what drew me to the project.
Talk about investing in your future. Mm-hmm. You were like the epitome of that.
Thank you.
Okay, who else is taking all those steps? You know, all these kids, you know, I call them kids, mm-hmm. all the cast
uh-huh.
over years. You know, do you were Boyhood, you know, before that. Well, not before because uh-huh. he's a 12-year. But you know what I mean? You mm-hmm. already on that tip.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And look what happened to Boyhood.
Mm-hmm.
So why couldn't something great happen for you in that type of a way?
Thank you.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so here's something else that I noticed that I just never noticed before. Now it's really, you know, coming together. Now mm-hmm. I'm seeing a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Now when you first start the movie, you go, okay, there's a bunch of guys who, you know, they just like girls, you know, mm-hmm. whatever. Boom. Motherfuckers got issues. right? Each and every one of them actually have a real fucking heart up under there. They're all keeping face. They don't want the other dude to see how soft they are about they really are in love, but they all have to eventually admit it. You know what I mean? That they really do feel a certain way. So that new addition that you added, excuse me, with 3D and what's his girl's? Forgive me her name.
Monica.
And Monica, when they're by the fireplace, was a real, number one, I don't know. This is just me personally. Could Sean have done that 3 years ago? Yes. But now he's more mature. He still looks the same. But now he's more mature to really be able to deliver that shit. And it happened for a reason. Now I believe
exactly.
It. You feel me? I was there. You know what I mean?
Man, you hit it on the head.
Yeah.
Because all those nuances. And you have to remember, we move at a very fast pace. Like the way you write, you're an exceptional writer. You write very quickly. No, I just know this. This is true. You know how to break down the script. You know how to move expeditiously and get it done. I'm the same way as a filmmaker. I get things done quickly. I get my shots. I try to get powerful shots, and I try to move with an economy of time. We shot those inserts in one day. So that shows the growth of these actors, that they're able to command these kind of performances at a moment's notice. And I'm not sure if they were able to do that years ago.
I agree. Even freaking LaMonica. I mean, they just are all mature. I mean, Al has been on so many shows now. He's settled in. It's kind of what I'm talking about, you. You've settled in. You're a man now. You're like, I got this. You know what I mean? I was with Robert Townsend on Wednesday night at the Writers Guild. We did a tribute to Cooley High.
Oh.
And when I met Robert, he shook my hand and he fucking bowed to me like as if I was important. And I was like, he settled in. He knows who the fuck he is. He don't have to prove nothing to nobody. He gives a fuck. He got his millions. He's fine. But it doesn't even matter. You are still just as important than anybody. You know what I mean? And you have that. You've set in the pocket somewhere
where
you're like, okay, I deserve this shit.
Thank you.
You feel me? It's real. You know, we go back. You know, we got a lot. We got a lot of stuff. So for me to see the progression, to me, gives me some shit that I can do. Makes me feel like I need to. Maybe I was slipping on some shit I didn't do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
we all.
Yeah, it does. So to see me see you move forward, and you got the Brave New World program, and you're here at fucking Sony, dude. We are here at Sony.
We are here at
Sony. Everybody cannot say they screened the fucking movie at Sony.
Thank you. That is accomplishment. And shout out to Sony.
Yes.
Sony Electronics, Sony Pictures for taking care of us and treating us like family. And we want to make sure we keep bringing more diversity and more powerful images and diverse images to the screen. And so I'm just excited. I feel blessed. And I mean, like, anything can happen. Right now, we're at it's like the Wild West right now, and of just seeing new diverse characters come to light, you know, from Empire to Blackish.
It's perfect time right now.
To Fresh Off the Boat. It's just so many times.
It's the perfect time.
And creative things and what you can do from going to online. You can go to Hulu. I mean, everything is just blasting open in which they need more content.
Yes.
People need to see more diverse stories told from different points of view.
Sure.
And so, and I think we all have something powerful to say. And that's what I wanted to say with this. It says,
well, let me ask you. Sorry to interrupt you. I can't remember if somebody asked a question about this at the end. They said something about it was like really nice seeing like a bunch of, you know, young black men who aren't, you know, drug dealers and whatever. I can't remember if that's what I heard. For some reason, that's what I fucking heard.
Yeah.
But I got to give it to you. You feel me? Nobody was like some, yo, nigga, what? You know what I mean? It wasn't no hood stuff.
No.
These are like middle class black kids. Motherfucker, yes, there's plenty of us like that. You know, who are those guys?
Professional
dudes.
You look at them, one is a business owner. You know, another one, Jimmy, who plays Australian. He's a stockbroker, you know, in commodities. Then we have another one, which is Lincoln, which Jax McQueen plays. He's an accountant. You know, and then we have, of course, Sean, which is the video game entrepreneur.
Which is loosely based off of your friends. That's the jobs they have.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you were in video games and all that stuff.
So yeah, exactly. You know? I did all the stuff with WWE.
Exactly. So to me, that was important. And I got to tell you, with being in the new era that we are in right now, why your show is so important to me now that I'm taking a step and looking at the progression of it and being in this era right now, it is so needed right now for a movie like this, because it'll speak to a lot of people who can relate. And mm-hmm. you know what you're showing?
What's that?
Fucking beautiful people of color. It ain't just black people.
No, it's
you got Latinos and Russians, and I mean,
you got Asians. You got Asian, the whole Hispanics, rainbow.
I mean, you are everywhere.
Thank you, man. You we really mean? Wanted, and I'm glad you see that. When you see Mouthpiece, you're going to see a beautiful array of people. Mm-hmm. You know, gorgeous people: black, white, Asian, Latino, Russian. Mm-hmm. You know, gay. Lesbian, whatever. It's just a beautiful array of people who are living mm-hmm. and just trying to make it. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Who just trying to identify. Trying
That's
to,
the big city.
Yeah, it's the big yeah. city. It's just trying yeah. to make a connection. Mm-hmm. Trying to make sense out of things, mm-hmm. but in a comedic way.
Yes.
And, you know, at the end of the day, you see these people, like when he says at the end, so y'all cool? You know, y'all squash that? And that's what boys do. Mm-hmm. You know, you shake hands, mm-hmm. you hug it out, mm-hmm. and let's go on to the next adventure.
Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. Oh, you did it, dude. You really did, you know. And I'm prayerful. I'm hopeful.
Thank you.
That, you know, that somebody will see what we saw tonight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and be like, okay, we can put this somewhere. You know what I mean? We should do something with. I would love to see it go to TV too. Fucking why not?
That's what I'm hoping, man.
If we can handle Empire with, it's sexy to me though.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? With Cookie, with stuff she mm-hmm. does.
Oh yeah,
some of the guys.
Sexy.
I mean, they really give you a mm-hmm. lot to play with in mm-hmm. all kind of ways. So I think there's a space for it now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think HBO and those guys. I know you looked at them a while ago, mm-hmm. but now they need to look at you with another point of view.
But see, your point is that. We're breaking down a lot of barriers because now we're doing it on network television okay. with Fox. Now mm-hmm. we're not only just doing it That's with right. HBO, with Showtime. Right. So Fox is starting to take chances.
Yeah.
So hopefully we see some place like a BET mm-hmm. takes chances as well. Hopefully we see, you know, some other great things coming from Amazon and yes. Hulu. So yes. it's going to be a Netflix. Lot of places. I mean, yeah, Netflix. Yes. Oh, man, Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And so we already see groundbreaking things happening with AMC.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a lot of places in which we can go to break stereotypes mm-hmm. and really be trailblazers and show, you know, who we are in all different kind of ways. Because I think it's enough space for us to show who we really are in different kind of ways.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so many different parts of the African-American diaspora, mm-hmm. you know, from African-American middle class to lower middle class mm-hmm. to upper class. And then you go to Latino mm-hmm. and then we have Asian. Then we have mm-hmm. it's so many things. It's no one person you see. That's why it's so beautiful about Los Angeles. It's truly a melting pot.
Yes.
And you have when you go out to an area, you see everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's kicking it. Everybody's mm-hmm. having fun. Everybody's, you know, when you just had those people in here just now, you're interviewing with Josh. You saw mm-hmm. various different races
mm-hmm.
just sitting here talking to you.
Sure.
You saw various different people sit down and interview about Mouthpiece.
But that's the future.
Mm-hmm.
The future is an interracial, mm-hmm. you know, future. Mm-hmm. We ain't going to look like us. We're going to look way different than this because people are going to start inbreeding even more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're seeing it so much now.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to keep doing that to the 10th degree. And the next thing you know, mm-hmm. you know, certain people are going to be weeded out. Let's just be real about it. You're going to be, motherfucker's going to be weeded out. That's all I'm going to say.
But not even about a blending. What I want to celebrate, I want to celebrate the differences.
Mm-hmm.
Like what I love is like Tatiana brought that Russian kind of sexiness.
Yes.
You know, that was very unique, and I thought I found it very alluring.
Mm-hmm.
Then I loved Jimmy, you know, mm-hmm. with his Aussie accent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of those are spices, I feel. Mm-hmm. All of those are beautiful spices.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have, you know, somebody from the South, like Jackson McQueen,
mm-hmm.
and he was a Southern African American. Then we have mm-hmm. Sean, who's from London,
mm-hmm.
you know, but plays American, but still comes at it a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a Midwest guy like Josh.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have my boy from the West Coast, LaMonica Garrett,
mm-hmm.
you know, who's very even keel and gay. He was really a nice, solid frame which you could build Mouthpiece on.
Yes.
That's what LaMonica brought, some really mm-hmm. solid acting.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had that hot spiciness of a Latina, Jez mm-hmm. Meza. You know, she came in, wielded a knife, and then we saw the real, because she came to me, and that's when I started writing. She said, I want to show a different side of this character.
Oh, okay.
You saw me smack him, and you mm-hmm. saw me mad, and you saw me fiery, mm-hmm. but it has
but
to
she
be.
She was in it. She committed to that moment,
man.
Too, didn't she?
She
I was like,
it.
Oh, there's been real tears. Like, yeah.
And when she came back, and I said, you know what? I'm going to write something specifically for you.
Mm.
And when she came back, man, her acting was on point. And mm-hmm. that scene with her and LaMonica, to me, transformed the whole film.
Mm-hmm.
It took it from something that was kind of frivolous and fun,
mm-hmm.
like an entourage, to something
mm-hmm.
real. and we all saw real raw emotions. Mm-hmm. She was really going to a place. You could see it was in that place. Mm-hmm. And it just transcended to something in which we all can relate to. We always all have been hurt in some kind of way.
You know what I like about the new additions to the script is that that's what you went back and did. That's in particular. True, you added more funny stuff and moments, mm-hmm. but you went back and added more heart mm-hmm. to every character at some point. Even freaking Cochise has a moment mm-hmm. where he's got, I'm sorry.
Jimmy Costas.
No, I'm thinking about Jackson McQueen.
Okay,
Even mm-hmm. 5 Foot has a moment where he has to sit in the pocket mm-hmm. and go, I probably made a mistake. you know what I mean?
But I'm glad you noticed that. Yeah. Because we understand now why he acts so like 5 feet, why he acts so crazy, mm-hmm. why he's so out there. He's mm-hmm. the wild card. Mm-hmm. It's because he's
fighting. I love that new addition of the dog. That shit being slipped inside of
thanks,
it.
Man.
That shit was funny as fuck, dude.
Because, you know, it's like, you got to have fun with it. And he just created a levity we needed, you know, so that, you know, if we're down here serious, he'll bring it back up, bring up the energy. Mm-hmm. And then we come back down with some realism, then he'd bring us back up. If you notice, everybody had a smile on their face anytime that character came on screen. Mm-hmm. Anytime you would just think about that character, he made you smile. Mm-hmm. So it was a certain magic that he brought to the scene.
Yeah, he has a little bit of that fairy dust.
Yeah, he has a little bit of the it factor. Yeah, it's more I always try to tell him he has that, mm-hmm. and I want him to embrace that. Mm-hmm. Also, I like the scene in which he was talking about his own relationship. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like everything was perfect, man, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. But he has a different view of marriage. He mm-hmm. feels that everything changed when he put the ring on her.
Yeah,
probably him who changed.
Yeah.
And so it's like all these characters are starting to take some introspect on themselves,
okay.
you know, and trying to see where they are and, you know, see where they have to go in mm-hmm. a sense, you know?
Okay.
And so that's what I really liked about it. I had to sit down with a couple of writers. I talked with Lena Waithe as well. Mm-hmm. And so when she first saw the script, she was like,
shout out to Lena.
Shout mm-hmm. out Lena. And she was like, this is cool, but it seems like it can go deeper, mm-hmm. you know? And like, you can go a lot deeper with this. I mm-hmm. understand, you know, it's like a swinger, like an entourage, but what else can you bring to it? And so that's when I wanted to go back myself and say, you know, I wanted to do a service to myself mm-hmm. and my friends and mm-hmm. show that, you know, it's different levels to a man. It's different mm-hmm. levels to just who we are, being a man in a modern society,
sure.
you know, yeah. of trying to be honest and knowing that that's only one or two people you can be honest with. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you can't even be honest with your boys
sure.
because you have to put on this certain persona mm-hmm. around them.
Mm-hmm.
But behind closed doors, you know who you really are. And so good I point. Wanted to open up to that
yeah.
and show that kind of man.
I think you did. I think when I take a step and look at the progression of everything that you've done, I can see, oh, wow, now there's real character. Now there's mm-hmm. now the studio can be like, okay, now we can develop. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Now I can see it's not just a series of vignettes. Now it's mm-hmm. story. Mm-hmm. You know, it's character. Now it's mm-hmm. plot. Now, you know what I mean? Now everything is really coming together. So I can just see the progression that it's
thank you.
In a positive way. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
If you notice definitely. That little shot of Sean at the very end, mm-hmm. when he's looking out over the city, I wanted to make that like, he's thinking about his future. Mm. You know, he's thinking about, you know, his upcoming marriage. But at the same time, you know, you saw he was up to the same antics mm-hmm. again at the bar mm-hmm. and how it turned around on him
mm-hmm.
when that girl was more bottom heavy than he was.
That's just funny.
People don't know that, but he's always saying he's bottom heavy. He's well hung.
Mm-hmm.
So he meets a chick who he thinks is a chick. He's more well hung than him. So shout out on that. But it's like he's still up to his own antics, but he has to come to realize there's going to be a time you have to stop playing games. Mm-hmm. You have to man up.
Mm-hmm.
I'll lose a great woman like the mm-hmm. woman he has because mm-hmm. he knows he has a great woman. Mm-hmm. Everyone tells him he has a great woman. You can see this is a great woman who's being patient with him.
Mm-hmm.
But she even has a limit herself, and she tells him. And I was talking with my lady. Shout out to Patricia Merritt, my beautiful woman. And I was talking with my wife, and we were like saying, she's like, look, if you're going to, because she's the character of Monica.
Okay.
She's like, if you're going to put me in here, you're going to have to let me represent.
Mm.
You have
to because I did like, I liked that you thought she was going to be like, okay. But she was like, okay, if you're coming back, motherfucker, Okay, you're going to do shit my way.
Exactly.
She flipped it. She's like, you think I'm soft, but I'm really not soft. I will be out of here in a fucking minute. I was like, ooh.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. It's like, you know, I love you, but I don't love you more than I love me.
Yes.
And that's a profound moment.
Yes.
You know, I love you. I'll take time with you. I've even been with you when you went bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
I had your back.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to make me waste my time,
mm-hmm.
no, I don't love you more than I love me. I'll mm-hmm. be out of here.
And see, I think that's why that scene resonated so much, because you made it personal.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It wrote itself.
True indeed.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You're like, if me and my girl were having an argument, this is what the fuck would happen.
Exactly.
Matter of fact, I remember this shit like yesterday. You know what I mean?
And
the fastest fucking scene you probably ever read too.
Well, you just have to, like you said, you got to write from the heart.
Yes.
You got to write. When people can see on the screen what's true and what's not.
Mm-hmm.
I think those pieces, when people go back and think, if they say why they like the film, mm-hmm. I think subconsciously it'll be because of those scenes.
Sure.
Especially with the females. Mm-hmm. I love how one female yelled out, he said, so marry me.
I know.
And one female yelled out, hell no.
That's hilarious.
My sister said, hell no. But see, that's why we want a TV show,
mm-hmm.
because we feel you can get invested in those characters.
Mm-hmm.
And I was
But see, that means she was.
Mm-hmm.
She was. Otherwise, why would she say anything?
Exactly.
If she didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So
mm-hmm.
you got her.
Mm-hmm.
So that
exactly.
is a good sign. You got
I see
her.
The point you're saying.
Yes.
Because when you get audience involvement, that's
right.
when you know you got them. When people mm-hmm. get upset, when people mm-hmm. laugh, when people mm-hmm. scream, yell at the screen,
mm-hmm.
you know. Even at Sony, that's why I'm glad people did. I was telling people, have fun. Let's mm-hmm. have fun here.
Mm-hmm.
And so as you remember at Supper Club, they went crazy.
Yeah.
They went crazy.
It was a different environment.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like I told mm-hmm. you, and you're going to have a lot more of these type of screenings.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be like that. And remember, it's full of industry people too.
Mm-hmm.
Industry people are like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. People with Supper Club, people had a couple drinks already. You know what I mean? The music was bumping. It was a little more loosey-goosey.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in a little studio, people are like, you know, somebody mm-hmm. has to break the ice. Somebody mm-hmm. has to, ha, ha, ha. You know what I mean? Somebody
then
has to do that. So they go, oh, we can do that?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
And so that's why it felt good with those first couple of scenes. And mm-hmm. as you well know, as soon as we saw the show, we started with laughs.
Mm-hmm.
We get people breaking the ice and letting them know it's time to have fun.
Yeah.
And that's what the show is about, man. We want people to know that these are characters in which you can fall in love with, you can grow with. You can see they're severely flawed,
mm-hmm.
but they remind us of ourselves. And they have, you know, you see opportunities of a better self.
Mm-hmm.
You see this person striving to be a better person, much like all of us.
Absolutely.
And so that's why we're excited about having an opportunity to taking this out and pitching it mm-hmm. as a TV show. So people look out for Mouthpiece, the TV show.
Mm-hmm.
And also we're going to have opportunity to take this to theaters and have this as an original production on cable network as well.
Yeah. Well, thank you, man. I'm excited to see, you know, what happens next. Please keep me up on what's going down.
I will. And I want to say thank you again for your excellent work on production.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
I
learned a lot on it.
Yeah.
I learned so many things that, like, I didn't ever had to get a permit for a fucking place before.
Uh-huh.
You know, now I know how to do that shit. You know what I mean? So there were things that we had to do
mm-hmm.
that we understand now how to mm-hmm. do. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So there were great things that came out of that freaking production for me.
Great things.
That I embrace. And I always tell mm-hmm. people, if there was something that you didn't like on the set or whatever,
mm-hmm.
embrace what you did get
mm-hmm.
and take that, you know, and make it into something good. You know what I mean? That's what I've learned. I'm like, okay, I can handle. Wow, we had a big fucking set. A big cast, a big crew.
It was huge. If you look at the credits of Mouthpiece, there's a lot of moving parts.
Yes.
And for us to do that in 7 days, people, we shot this movie in 7 days mm-hmm. over several years. And we pulled it together.
Mm-hmm.
We did an exceptional job with exceptional, incredible crew. Shout out to the Mouthpiece crew.
Absolutely.
I just want to thank you, Steve Mason. Thank you, Leslie Mobenberger. Thank you, Ryan Postis. Those are
mm-hmm.
my Baumgartner, excuse me. Those are my DPs.
Mm-hmm.
And they did an exceptional job of keeping the look consistent.
Yeah, it looks same.
And so we kept everything a beautiful, consistent look.
Mm-hmm.
And just everybody did such a great job. Mm-hmm. My man, Reggie Watkins, he's an actor, but he's also did a great job of doing scene locations mm-hmm. for us.
Yeah, you got us some tight-ass locations, dude.
Dope scenes.
You know what I mean?
So shout out to Reggie for getting those
mm-hmm.
incredible locations. And I just want to say again, man, I'm just proud of my cast. They just did a great job. You know, they came to play.
Mm-hmm.
Every time it was time for us to shoot, they were on point. They knew mm-hmm. the lines. And you're going to see these people everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You're already seeing LaMonica Guerra from Sons of Anarchy.
Mm-hmm.
He's in Daddy's Home with Mark Wahlberg.
Mm-hmm.
And it's produced by Will Ferrell.
Oh, wow.
And he's coming up on another new pilot. He's in Rizzoli and Isles also. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the world is our oyster, man. We're going to start working. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you're going to see me, David Merritt. You're going to see Hilliard Guest. Mm-hmm. We got next. Mm-hmm. And we're going to blow it up, man.
That's what's up.
We're going to blow it up.
Where can people find you right quick? Tell them where they can find you.
Yeah, you can find me. You can look at Mouthpiece on Instagram. We have a new Instagram for Mouthpiece. Okay, you're also going to look at Brave New World on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Brave New World, just want to tell you real quick. I created a program for minority students. It's minority kids, period. Mm-hmm. Anybody who are minorities, 18 to 24, if you want to come and learn how to write and direct and produce on a Hollywood soundstage, it's the only program like this in the world in which we bring you into a Hollywood soundstage and we teach you how to create a product.
That's amazing.
We did films last year with Keenan Ivory Wayans. Mm-hmm. This year we did sitcoms. We'd love to invite you back for the screening.
Definitely.
I've got some good food. Mm-hmm. Have it. Wolfgang Puck is coming.
Okay, I heard
and he's
that.
Gonna.
You always got some shit going on.
And so this year we taught them the art of the sitcom pilot.
Okay, cool.
And we had Lena Waithe. She came in and spoke. Mm-hmm. So that's what's going on, man. And you can find me at King David Films. I'm also on Instagram, David Merritt, the second. That's two lowercase i's on Instagram. But also King David Films on Twitter.
Word. That's what's up. Well, thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
I appreciate
it.
So, hey, everybody, man, y'all heard it today. This was a really special episode.
On location. My man came out.
At Sony, getting it in for y'all. You know, got to interview some of the actors. You know, I wish we could have got L, LaMonica Garrett in here.
We'll definitely get him.
We'll get him. Mm-hmm. You know, now he's got all these fucking shows going on. I might have to just do one. Maybe I can put y'all in. Yeah, that's what's up. So, again, y'all know how we do it. Say it with me. We're going to say 2015.
Okay.
So y'all know how we do it on the Rant Room. You know what we like to do. We just like to have fun and shit. So here, check me out on Twitter at Hilliard Guest, or you can follow us at ScreenwritersRR. You have any questions for us? ScreenwritersRantRoom@gmail.com. Special shouts out for just a couple quick countries: Canada, the United Kingdom, Germany, France, South Africa. Australia, dude.
Wow.
It's crazy.
It's getting nuts.
It's crazy.
It's getting crazy up here, y'all.
You feel me?
That's what it is. Man, I try to tell people, bro.
Mm-hmm.
That's God who's taking you to a whole nother level, man. Yeah. From one place to the next.
All I do is promote this on Facebook and Twitter. That's it.
But that's the best word of mouth. You're trying to get people just talking.
I don't have shit. You know what I mean?
People just starting to blow up. What you talking about?
Because they get real shit.
You're getting the real thing about the craft.
Yes.
Learning the craft right here, 101.
That's what's up. Y'all heard it from David Merritt right there. So y'all know how we do it on the Rant Room. We keep it street. We keep it opinionated. We keep it what?
2015.
Peace, y'all.
Yeah, man, I got something to get off my chest.
Everyone got one. What's your opinion? This is the Rant Room. Tongues won't be bit. Ain't no rules, just spill it. And anybody can get it. No limit. We get to kill it. You tuning into the thrillers. And no, ain't no stopping.
No.
Any topic, even the random.
It's random.
I hope that you're ready. We entering in the zone soon. We on a grown shit. Welcome to the Rant Room.